Well, imagine a strange virus takes hold of our planet, and the world as we know it comes to a frightening stop. Borders close, countries shut down, millions become infected, and thousands upon thousands die from this mysterious illness. It sounds like something from a sci-fi novel, but of course it's true, and we're in the middle of this story without knowing the ending. So what would a science fiction writer make of the COVID-19 pandemic, and what could he foresee as the outcome? Let's ask Robert Sawyer, one of Canada's most popular sci-fi writers and the author of 24 books, including his latest, The Oppenheimer Alternative. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. So does the COVID pandemic seem like a story out of science fiction to you?
This is what's so frustrating about it. It absolutely does. And we've been telling this story in science fiction for many decades, going right back to H.G. Wells, the father of science fiction, with his short story, The Stolen Bacillus. The idea that there would be a pandemic worldwide, devastating the economy, killing people, destroying our infrastructure. All of that has been common coin in science fiction, and yet the world was unprepared.
Well, when was that story written, the H.G. Wells story?
That was in the first decade of the previous century, so in the first decade of the 1900s.
So you're saying no surprise.
Yeah, no surprise. And everybody knows the great science fiction movies, Andromeda Strain, The Omega Man, and so forth from decades ago, warning us again that a runaway disease and contagion, which is a more recent film, but had quite the run of popularity recently in rewatches. We've been telling everybody about this. And so we science fiction writers feel like Cassandra, the prophet or prophetess in her case, who just wasn't heeded, just wasn't listened to.
Yeah, well, I guess we should have been paying more attention to all you science fiction writers. But of course, you know, the scientists, researchers themselves, they'd been warning of a pandemic for years as well. And especially after the SARS outbreak that we had around 2003, why do you think people weren't paying attention?
It's exactly the same thing, Mary, as I think with catastrophic climate change and every other existential threat we face. We evolved to deal with the immediate threat. On the African savannah, is there a big cat? Is there a lion lurking in the grass right now up ahead of us? We respond immediately. Is winter coming and we should lay in some food in case things get bad in the months to come? We've never been very good about that.
So you make it sound as if it's really just part of our blueprint. Like it's hard.
It is. Yeah. You know, and that's the unfortunate thing. And unfortunately, the reality is most species that ever existed, 99%, went extinct, specifically because their blueprint wasn't adaptable to changing conditions. So we have our intellect. We have to overcome the genetic programming that says, you know what, if it's not literally in my face, which COVID-19, that's why we're wearing masks right now. It literally is in our face. Until something reaches that immediacy, we have a tendency not to deal with it.
So, okay, so no surprise that the pandemic arrived. No surprise to you about our reaction. Has there been anything that's actually surprised you about the pandemic and just the way things have evolved?
I think the most exciting thing for a lot of people is the realization that the technology that we've mostly been ignoring, now not us science fiction writers, but video conferencing and working from home, which of course as a writer is what I've done my whole career, are mature, robust technologies. So what people are finding is, you know, the future was already here. The science fiction technology was in place to not have to go to the office and yet still be productive, to be able to communicate with your coworkers, whether they're in the same city as you or across the world from you, in high definition video, is mature and healthy technology. So people are being forced to accept the reality that we live in a science fiction world. And thank goodness that this hit now than 10, 15 years ago. Remember SARS, we didn't have that technological infrastructure in place. And it was a complete shutdown in essence because of that.
So do you think then, I mean, because people, scientists, including I guess science fiction writers, were predicting that the pandemic would have come earlier, right? That this was overdue. If, in fact, it had come earlier, would we not have been as prepared?
That's right. I mean, you know, I don't want to say it's merciful that it came now because so many people have lost loved ones. There's such a devastating effect on the economy. But that said, we are lucky that we didn't get this 10 years ago. We were bound to get it. There was zero question a pandemic was going to happen. We live in a world of it's slowed down right now because of the pandemic, but of daily tens of thousands of people moving internationally in airline travel, hundreds of thousands. It was inevitable that any little epidemic, which is a small-scale outbreak, would become a global pandemic, and almost overnight, in the modern way we travel.
Yeah. Robert, I want to talk about what's in store for the future, what's next, but I just want to remind our listeners that I'm speaking to you, award-winning science fiction writer Robert Sawyer. You recently released your 24th novel. It's called The Oppenheimer Alternative. Let's talk about, you are working on a new book, it is your 25th, about this post-pandemic world. First of all, how long do you think this pandemic might last?
And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but seriously, we're just at the end of summer of 2020. It's going to be end of summer of 2021. I was out last night in we're in stage three here in Mississauga, where I happen to be. And, you know, restaurants are open, you're allowed to go in and so forth. People without masks, people making this last longer, right? If we'd all just knuckled down and taken our medicine, so to speak, that is, worn our masks and done social distancing, it would have been over by now. Because we are not doing what needs to be done, we're going to see a second wave, a third wave, a fourth wave, until A, herd immunity, which might or might not ever happen, or B, we develop a vaccine, which is inevitable that we will. It's just a question of how long. I'm predicting a year.
Do you think, though, even after the year, will things go back to, sort of relatively speaking, the way they were?
No, we're setting a societal reset switch. And I want to say, in your previous segment, the previous half hour, we're talking about Harriet Beecher Stowe and Uncle Tom's Cabin and so forth. That reset switch includes social things as well. There's a feeling, a subconscious feeling, I think, that everybody has, that things are not going to go back to the way they were. So we're not just resetting our economy. People will continue to work at home, even after it's safe to no longer do so. We're not just resetting our educational system. People will continue to do distance learning, even after our great universities and colleges reopen. But also people are saying, hey, if we're resetting everything, let's reset the balance of power. Let's reset our social interactions. Let's really get that multicultural idea that Canada has preached for all these decades and make it a reality. All of that will happen and will stick. We're not going back to the way it was.
If what you're saying is true, I mean, that is a huge upheaval on so many different levels, right? Economic, social, health-wise. You know, and earlier you were talking about the revolution or the evolution of what's going on with our work and the effects of technology, and that, you know, we'll continue to work from home. How do you see, I mean, do you see that as being more of a positive or a negative thing? Because I also wonder about the social aspect of work.
Yes. So we live in a world up hitherto, to this point, a world that was designed for extroverts, for those people who really enjoyed the social aspects of going to work, those who were lucky enough to have jobs that did have social aspects. Some people, of course, had miserable assembly line jobs or worked alone as a night watch person or, you know, a janitor or what have you. But for those who really enjoyed the social aspects of work, it was hog heaven. But that's coming to an end. We're switching to actually the age of the introvert. And they're just as valid human beings as those of us who have outgoing, ebullient personalities, you know? They're people who are saying, whoa, I don't have to put up with the social anxiety at work. I don't have to put up with the upmanship of the workplace where somebody is jockeying for position against me or stealing the credit for what I do. It's a different social order. And for many people, yes, it will be less comfortable. For many other people who have been disenfranchised by our workplaces in a lot of ways, it's going to be a more comfortable world.
So there will be some good in some ways coming out of this, for certain.
Not to in any way minimize the disaster. I would trade none of this change for the lives that we've lost. Mm-hmm. But yes, there will be some upside to this.
Well, what do you think is the biggest danger or risks that you're concerned about?
The complacency, it always is, that people will say, we're just going to go back to the way it was before. We have people, you know, I'm very sympathetic to everybody who's weathering an economic difficulty right now. But we had an economic collapse just a decade ago where people should have kind of learned to live below their means instead of maxing out their credit, be prepared for that rainy day, which we literally and figuratively are having here in Ontario right now today. I think that's the biggest problem, that we just, no matter how many times nature, Mother Nature, tries to teach us a lesson, we're really bad about learning that lesson for the next inevitable time. This is COVID-19 isn't the 19th COVID, it's the COVID that was discovered in 2019. There'll be a COVID 2022, 2027, 2034. We're not done by a long shot.
All right. Wow. I mean, we could go on about this forever. You've got so much to say on it. I really appreciated your thoughts on it, and best of luck with your 25th book. I mean, you're writing about the post-pandemic world, and I can only say I hope it has a happy ending, Robert.
I'm an optimist. We will get through this.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mary.
That's Robert Sawyer, award-winning science fiction writer, and he has published, as I said, 24 books, working on his 25th. His latest is called The Oppenheimer Alternative.